Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Shake it up, baby!
Shake it up, baby!
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It's easy to do. And the letter comes every Sunday by email, and it's in the afternoon to get you ready for the week ahead. Don't forget all the other things you can do on my website, including you can find out about the last visit we had with our guest this half hour, Pamela N. Danziger. Pam is a nationally recognized expert in consumer marketing, psychology, and research. She's the president of Unity Marketing. She's the author of the outstanding book I'm holding in my hand, Why People Buy Things They Don't Need. Sounds a little scroogey to me there, Pam. But also, she's got a new book out. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being on the show. Why people don't buy things they don't need. I remember when I read that, I liked it immediately because, Pam, I'm a little bit of a Scrooge.
Right.
And we buy a lot of things at Christmas that we don't need, don't we? We buy things for other people that they don't need.
Yeah, but that's what makes the best gift is stuff that we buy that they don't really need, because that's what people enjoy. And so entertainment items, recreational items, that the whole area of DVDs and books and videos and iPod machines and all that other stuff is the number one most popular gift, because it is something that people enjoy and it's something that they're unlikely to buy for themselves. So that's one of the areas that makes it a very popular gift. So need, not need, isn't really the issue. It's will somebody appreciate it?
By the way, folks, my Christmas list is going to be posted on my website. I know many of you have been waiting on that, so it'll be on there up there pretty soon. Pam, when you talk about all those things, it's what's funny to me is for one American to say to another American, to accuse another American of being Richard excess or conspicuous consumption. This whole nation we're all conspicuous consumers compared to the rest of the world, aren't we?
It's really true. I mean, we live such an affluent lifestyle, and it's like you really almost have to go to a village in Mexico or somewhere in Turkey to really understand how affluent we are. So we live so far above the kind of, normal level of, subsistence living that it's really hard for us to even understand need in the sense of people in other parts of the country, because we don't go to bed hungry. I mean, we have quite the opposite problem. Our affluence has led to a really critical overweight situation.
Obesity is a problem here. It sure is.
It is. It's a huge problem. And we live in houses that are far bigger than we really need. Mm-hmm. And when we go shopping, I mean, really, most of the shopping is motivated not by need. I need this thing or I need that, but it's mostly today by just desire, by an emotional response, to either find something new or different, or even experience shopping in a new and different way.
Well, see, and this is exactly what I've been talking about. My audience knows for a long time now, I've been saying that what you just described, Pam, is the greatest thing to happen to small business owners, because there are two things that human beings acquire. They acquire the things that they need, but they also acquire the things that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell them is let the big box companies give people what they need, because those are commodities.
Right.
But what we should provide for them, and in a way that really no, a lot of big box companies can't do this, we need to give them what they want, and what they want they'll pay more for, won't they?
You bet. I think one of the really biggest misconceptions in business, and the marketing literature has really led people down this path, is the idea to play to people's needs. And I say, like you said, it's needs are commoditized.
That's right.
are where you don't make any
profit. I need food, but I want to dine.
Exactly. And food, you know, there's like, you know, you get pennies on a dollar is what the profit margin is in food. But right. in dining, I mean, you know, you get $80, $90, $100
right.
a meal. And believe me, the food doesn't cost that much more than it does, you know, at McDonald's or Arby's. So, you know, what small businesses really need to do is forget all about the need and play to the wants and desires and the emotion of the consumer. And like you say, that's where they're going to be spending, that's what, where they're willing to spend more money. And, you know, I'm particularly enamored in the next decade of the service industries. I mean, I think if you can turn your product into a service, and I think about, you know, a lot of florists, they do some services, but how about going out into people's homes and decorating for them holidays? I mean, there's lots of people that just don't have a knack for that decoration and so on.
Well,
isn't
that the ultimate luxury? Isn't the ultimate luxury not something you can hold, but just giving you back your time?
Yeah, well, it really is. It's the time and the experience, and you know, the home services category is in fact it's going to be a booming business. But it's even more than that. They're the experiential side of it, because people want to experience new things, and that those experiences, what they experience, ultimately changes them, makes them a more complete, a wholer, more full person. And that's what we ultimately, the more evolved luxury consumers, and I think many people in our culture are like this. They really do want, they want to experience things so that they ultimately achieve some new level of self-actualization. That's what Abraham Maslow called it. Self-actualization is the ultimate need. And that's why things like the cooking schools are popular, and Viking Stoves has opened their stores all over the country. You can't buy a Viking stove in the stores, but you can go and learn how to use them and take cooking classes with real experts. And that's the experiential trend that is leading. I mean, it's a new way of thinking about business, and it's a new way of thinking about retail. And it's not about lining up products on a shelf, selling things. It's about selling experiences to the consumer.
Well, and see, we need to take a lesson from one of the largest companies in the history of the marketplace, and that's IBM. You know, IBM reinvented themselves 10 or so years ago by moving from hardware more towards services. And
right.
and they're still doing that. They're still moving in that direction. And so small businesses, you know, we need to realize that, as you said earlier, there's virtually nothing today that you can hold or use that isn't a commodity. Mm-hmm. But how you deliver that thing, and especially to the point of your new book, if you can create it so that it's a luxury item and cater to that group of people who are willing to and have the ability to pay for that. Not only do you get more business, Pam, but they're higher margins. You alluded to that, too. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with our good friend Pam Danziger. She's the author of Why People Buy Things They Don't Need and the new book, Let Them Eat Cake, Marketing Luxury to the Masses. It's going to be out in very soon, just a few weeks, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
On the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend. You know the first time.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate, Pam Danziger, is our guest. On the book, it says Pamela N. Danziger. I bet that's what her mother calls her, Pamela.
And, yeah, well, she was mad at me.
And Pamela, give us your website, please.
Yes, my website is www.unitymarketingonline.com. And there's lots of information about all the different studies we do on all the different categories of products that people buy that they don't need.
And
like jewelry.
We can just go there and wander around on your site, can't we?
Yeah, so they're welcome to wander.
Can we find your book there as well?
Yes, you can buy the book there. I mean, I really think it is a very good guide for small businesses, you know, in the retail sector who are selling to consumers, or maybe in the service businesses to consumers, to really understand this new mindset that's taking over in terms of shopping.
If you want to understand and predict consumer behavior, folks, I think you'll find it in the book, in her first book, which is Why People Are. I'm not sure if it's her first one. It's the one I have.
The first book.
Why people buy things they don't need. But the next one is coming out is called
Let them eat cake.
I love that.
Yeah, marketing luxury to the masses as well as the classes.
What are the things that we need to know about marketing luxury to the new luxury consumers?
Well, I really, in my book, I outline some key things that people need to understand about the luxury consumer. And I think this is one of the more interesting ones, is that really luxury today is not defined by the thing. It's not about that this watch or handbag or pair of shoes or suit or car has certain attributes and features of luxury. And that makes it a luxury. But today, luxury is defined from the consumer's point of view. I interpret this as luxurious. For example, you know, Mercedes is recognized like as a luxury car, but that's old luxury thing. New luxury thing, I mean, I personally don't have any desire to buy a Mercedes. The new luxury car that I want to buy is one of these hybrids, because I have to pay penance for having this big SUV in my driveway for the last 10 years. And I'm looking forward to, it'll be an Acura hybrid is what I think I'm going to buy. And it's not going to be expensive car, but that's going to be a luxury because I don't need it, but yet I feel it's important to vote, you know, against the oil sheiks in the Middle East. And so luxury today is all about how I interpret it, how I view it, and it's about my passion, and my passion is different than your passion, your luxury is different than my luxury, but yet we're all entitled to it, and we all feel that we can indulge in luxury, and frankly, our pocketbooks say that we can at one level or another.
And the thing is you want your luxury to come to you in a way that makes you feel like nobody else has it. What I'm getting at, Pam, is the point I'm trying to make is customization. You want it customized for Pam.
Yeah.
And so that makes it extra luxury. And the thing is, nobody can do that better than small businesses.
Oh, you bet. Well, you know, one of the words that is misused today, at least in the American luxury market, is the word exclusivity. Because the whole idea of exclusivity is about excluding someone. And you said it about something special for that nobody else has. And I think that's nobody else has is really what we have to examine. Because what we really want in luxury is not so much that my luxury is better if I can have it and you can't have it, which is a very,
That's the reason why I use the word customization
rather than
exclusivity.
More special, yeah. It's like throw out the word exclusivity and let's talk about more special and more unique, because that's the drive in America. It's not that I want it because other people can't have it, but I want it because it's more about me. And that's why you want to customize. That's why you want to make sure you position a product that's very, very special. If you have a small gift store, you want to carry product lines that are very unique and very different, not the same Hallmark, Precious Moments and Department 56 that you see everywhere. You want to find things that are more unique and more special, not necessarily exclusive.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, something like a car. There's my favorite restaurant. When I go there, I'm a little picky about my salads. I like my salads a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how I like it. And when I go there, the waitress or the waiter, by now they all know me, and they say, and I know how you want your salad. And they don't even ask me. They just go and do it. And so that makes me want to go back there because it's for me.
Right. Well,
that's a level of luxury that I don't even know what they charge me for the salad.
Yeah, you don't care.
I don't care.
Well, you know, that's such a perfect example of the difference between selling a thing and selling experience. In the old luxury thing, the idea of going out to dinner and going out for fine dining, well, it's all about the food. Well, when we talk to luxury consumers and, you know, sort of, they can't tell me about the food. They don't remember the food. What they remember is the way they're treated. They remember the ambiance. They remember the candle on the table and the way the wait check person, you know, handles their food. And they remember all the experiential sides of it, how they fixed up something special just the way they wanted it, and that's the emphasis. So if you're in a restaurant business, it's not about the food, it's about the experience. So rather than spending like 95% of your time working on those recipes and making sure they're good, better, best, you really should be spending more time on the service side of your business.
But food will kind of take
care of itself.
It's not, you know, and food's an easy one for us to talk about, but folks, if you sell shoelaces, you can do the same thing. People, wherever they go, they want that experience. They want to feel like the Cheers song said, like somebody knows my name.
Right. Yeah, think about this. A person, when you're in selling shoelaces, you never know what size shoelaces you need. Well, how about a store person, salesperson, who will open the package and let you see how long it is?
Pam Danziger, thank you for being here. It's always a lot of fun. Happy holidays.
Pam.
And give us your website again, please.
Yeah, www.unitymarketingonline.com.
Thank you, Pam.
Online.
And you're going to launch your new book on the show, aren't you?
Oh, sure am.
All right. See you, Pam. Got to go for just a few minutes. I'll be right back, though, with Don Boudreau, 29 After. Stay with me.
Can't you see you're in my way now?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.